here this morning with James Silvani. He's going to be our first guinea pig for the first panel for the day. So, James Silvani, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. James Silvani, master comic book artist. He's written for Boom Boom Comics, correct?
Boom is one of the people I worked for, yeah.
Yeah, and how long have you been in the business, my friend?
Well, I started back in the early 90s.
Right.
Doing comic books for Warner Brothers. I was worked on the Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain. Then took... Yay!
Wow, the Animaniacs even. Yeah, yeah. Nice.
And then took a break for comics, and then about 10 years ago, I got back into it, and I've been working on DuckTales, The Muppets, and mostly Darkwing Duck since then.
Darkwing Duck, of course, created by Tad Stones. We've had him here at the Maui Comic Con before. Are you still in close contact with Tad about the character?
Very close contact with Tad. We talk all the time. He is a great mentor figure to what I do.
Now, my first question for you is, what was your love for the comic book artistry? What drew you to that, and what made you make a career out of it?
Ooh, I mean, when I was growing up, I always knew I wanted to draw.
Right.
And it was nice because my parents always encouraged me to draw. They right. never said, stop wasting your time with that. Get back to your math homework. And they liked it because they could take me anywhere and I would be quiet, just sit there drawing the whole time. I could go to the restaurant, to relatives, and I would just be a nice little quiet kid there drawing.
Sit in the back seat, draw.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, that's it. What inspired me when I was a kid, I had three big influences. One were the Carl Barks comics. Of Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck. Those were just... I would get these at the dime store. They would have these plastic bags that had about 7 or 8 Gold Key comics
right.
in them. And it was all Donald Duck, Uncle Scrooge, Walt Disney's comics and stories. And I would just get those by the handful
right.
and read those. Another big influence of mine was Peanuts.
Peanuts, yeah. Charles Schultz.
Charles Schultz. And when I was 10 years old, I was lucky enough to meet Charles Schultz. My mom knew where he had breakfast every morning, and we were on a family trip. And I...
So you stalked him. I got it.
So I was a 10-year-old stalker at the time. It was fantastic. So the next day when they released me from juvie, I was able... I went back to the coffee shop where he was eating at. The waitress introduced me to him because she could see that I was a fan. And he looked at my cartoons and said, wow, you're farther along than I was when I was 10 years old.
Wow.
And so he took one of my pieces of paper, one of my extra ones that I had, and he drew me a Snoopy on there.
Right.
And I have that above my drawing desk to this day. It's my...
You kept that till this day.
My most prized possession.
That is amazing.
And my third big influence was, while most kids were reading Mad Magazine as a kid,
uh-huh.
for their stuff, I was more of a Cracked Magazine kind of guy.
You were.
I love
That's a
Cracked
super
magazine.
Controversial stance.
That is, I know I'm going to lose half my audience for that. But it was only because of one artist. There was an artist in there named John Severin.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember? He used to do all the movie parodies.
Yeah.
And there was so many, his drawings were so serious, but they had such a humorous bent that spoke to me on some level.
Right.
That... I thought, this is what I want to do. I want to do comics for a living, just from those three people. So
Cracked led you down the road to Disney characters. How did that happen?
Well, I grew up in Southern California, so I was always at Disneyland.
Yeah.
I always had a family member that was a cast member, so that my mom was so bad, she would say, we're taking the day off from school, we're going to the park. We're going to Disneyland. So... I have a deep, long love for Disney in my background, just from spending so much time at the park.
So how did you manage to get your foot in the door? Because, you know, Disney's not exactly an easy place to get in.
It is definitely, well, when I started back doing comics, I was doing, the Animaniacs and
right.
Pinky and the Brain. And right before that, I was working for... a company that had the license to do the Ninja Turtles t-shirts.
Oh, okay.
So that is where I learned licensing artwork.
Right.
So a lot of people can do fan art of their favorite characters, but to actually do licensed characters is a lot of work. And I was lucky that I was able to, say, break my teeth in the industry by doing T-shirts.
Sure.
Most people don't think of doing, you know, licensing artwork for T-shirts as a way to break into the industry, but it definitely taught me what I needed to know about how, you know, what the little intricacies are of doing licensed work.
Right.
So from there, from Ninja Turtles, I went on to Warner Brothers. From there, I went on to do a lot of stuff for Mattel Toys.
You were designing Mattel Toys?
I was doing working on their advertising a lot.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. And then finally, from there, about 10, 15 years later, I was able to break in and get Disney work. But it was on more the merchandising end of things. So toy packaging, more T-shirts. And then from there, I was able to, because of my Muppets background that I had, do Muppets comics. Ah. Muppets, I was able to work that way into doing Darkwing.
So your breakout was the actual Muppets for what, I mean, as far as comics goes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They, it was one of those things. That we live in a great age of the internet right now.
Right.
As far as breaking into comics. A lot of people think you go to portfolio reviews, stock editors, you send them your material. You don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's all done on the internet. So
right.
Boom Studios at the time was doing an internet search for artists.
Right.
And I saw that they were doing Muppet comics. I thought, God, how fun would this be? So I put together a 2-page sample. I posted it on their message board. And the next day I got a call saying, hey, you want to work on some Muppets comics?
Wow, that is amazing.
It can all happen in the blink of an eye. So
moving, how long were you on that stint, for that Muppet stint?
The Muppets, I worked on a 4-issue miniseries for them called Muppet King Arthur. They used to do a series of Muppet storybook editions. And Muppet King Arthur was my first one. I was all set to go on to do Muppet Snow White after that.
Ah.
But my editor at the time, who also wrote the next book I was working on, he said, hey, guy, do me a favor. We need to get some samples from you for some other covers. So do me a cover for The Incredibles. Do me a cover for Finding Nemo. These were all comics that they were publishing at the time. And he goes, and just for laughs, let's do a Darkwing cover.
Sure, sure.
So I did the Darkwing cover, and he goes, okay, I'm pulling you off the Muppets book, and you're going to be doing Darkwing from here on out.
Wow.
And that's the comic I've been working on ever since.
So from my understanding, Disney actually licenses out their characters to other comic book houses. Is that correct?
You may have heard that they actually own a comic book company.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wait. They own a comic book company?
They own a comic
book.
Own a little company called Marvel Comics.
Marvel Comics?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. But for their own characters, for their own established characters that they already own, the market for that is smaller than Marvel Comics. So instead of doing it internally, it's business-wise a better idea for them to license their books out. So when I was working for them, they were licensed by Boom Studios. They've gone through a couple different licensees since then, and now they have books that are currently being published by IDW. So they publish their standards comics, which is Mickey, Donald, Goofy, things like that. And also they are licensed by Dark Horse Comics.
Ah.
And Dark Horse does their Disney princesses. They do Frozen and whatever other features they have, like Big Hero 6 and things like that. So, no real need for them to publish their stuff internally.
So I'm assuming you've honed your craft when it comes to drawing ducks. So, have you ever wanted, now that you've, how long have you been doing this now, doing Darkwing?
Darkwing I've been doing since 2010.
Wow.
So, quite a few years, yeah.
Are you looking to break out of Duckdom and move on to maybe some other characters, or are you comfortable with Darkwing?
I mean, because of my love for Carl Barks and the Uncle Scrooge comics, I never thought I would say I would be a duck artist.
Wow.
That is a pretty great club to be in. I mean, as far as comics work goes.
Right.
If I had my, I mean, who wouldn't love to draw Batman?
Of course.
You know, who wouldn't? But my focus of what I would like to do with Batman is a very specialized area, because I would love to work on something that's involved in the animated series universe.
Oh, of course.
I'm a huge, huge fan of the Batman animated series.
Right.
Superman animated series, Justice League Unlimited, all the big shows from the 90s and early 2000s. So if I could do something in that universe, it would be a big honor.
So that's your fantasy comic, if you could
that
work
could
on it.
That would be my fantasy comic.
That's,
yes.
Of course, if Disney ever wanted to lose your talents. Because you're just that good.
Yeah, well, it would be nice, but we'll see what. But I am about halfway there as far as working on that, because I am working on currently working on a creator-owned project.
Oh.
Which the writer of the project is someone very well known to Batman fans. The writer is Paul Dini.
Paul Dini?
Yes.
No.
Who was responsible for the creation of Harley Quinn.
Yes.
For the and he rewrote the book on Mr. Freeze, Mad Hatter, and many of Batman's other famous villains.
Of course.
So he's a very prolific comic book writer, and he's who I'm working with now on this creator-owned project.
Now, working on what? I mean, can you talk about it at all, or is
what I can say is originally the feature was supposed to be for Mad Magazine. And then, as many of you may have heard, Mad Magazine went away.
Yes.
So what we did is we got the rights back to the book, and now we have it with another publisher. I can't say who the publisher is yet, because we got to cross some T's
and dot some I's. Got it.
Kiss some babies and wreck some cars and all that in the meantime. But we're going to take this. We did a preview online of the book, the way it was going to be at Mad Magazine.
Right.
And what I will say is the name of it is called Redundantunes. Redundantunes.
Okay.
Which is about a bunch of cartoon, like Looney Tunes type characters, which have been made redundant. So, that is all I will say about it at this time.
Do we have a possible release date for this yet? Or
we'll just say in 2020.
2020?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, so, you, there's how many? I guess my question is that you, as an artist, and because you have one particular comic that you're working on now, how many do you work on at a time, or how many do they ask you to bang out within a year?
Wow. I mean, when I'm doing Darkwing, that's a monthly book.
Oh, right.
So, especially with working with someone like Disney, there's, with licensed comics in general, there's an approval process they have to go through.
Of course, of course.
As opposed to an independent comic where you're your own boss. With this, I do the book in pencil first.
Right.
And those books have to be sent off to Disney for approval. So in the meantime, while I'm waiting for those to be approved,
right,
I will do the inks for the previous month's book that had already been approved. I'll finish that up and send that off. So when you're penciling and inking a book, most books from Marvel and DC, there's a separate inker and a separate penciler.
Right.
So that you could take a little more time. When you're someone like me who does their own pencils and inks, that, you know, you're spending the entire month just working on one book. You're lucky if maybe you can ink or pencil 2 pages a day.
Wow.
Yeah, and when you're waiting for those approvals, then you're waiting even longer. So it's a whole month to be doing a book.
Unbelievable. And so do they approve by page or by panel? How does that work?
It's really, especially work for Disney, it's panel by panel.
Wow.
Yeah, because when you're doing that licensed book, they're very, especially working for a company like Disney, they're very hardcore about making sure everything is on brand.
Protective of the brand.
Protective of the brand, and make sure everything looks like the way it's supposed to look. I'm really trying to make it look like the cartoon. You really want it to be an extension of what was done previously through the animation.
Right, being honorable to the series itself.
I think my worst experience was working for... I did a How to Train Your Dragon comic.
Ah.
And that is, of course, licensed through DreamWorks.
Right.
Now, DreamWorks does not have a big history of comics.
Right.
Like Disney does. So they would... look at the work that I finished, and they would come back with all these changes. And what they don't realize is that comics, it's just one guy.
Right.
Whereas opposed to when they do licensed books, like kids' books, there's a whole team of people working on it.
Right.
Or when it's in animation, there's a whole team of people working on it. And changes can be passed on from person to person to person.
Correct, correct.
Whereas comics is just one guy. So they come back and say, we need, you know, here's, we need basically every page changed.
Right.
I got to come back to them and say, okay, well, that's going to delay the book for a month because it's just me. So there was a little bit of a learning curve for them doing comics.
Now, do you find yourself, I mean, as far as what you're working on currently for Darkwing, do you, my question is the sustainability of a character like Darkwing Duck. What makes him so, I guess, beloved, I guess? And how is it possible that he can be... I mean, we're looking at, a 20-year-old character at this point?
It'd be 30 years in 2021.
Well, how does he maintain his... the commitment from the fans for someone like Darkwing? I mean they're bringing the cartoon back, is from what I understand.
Yeah, well, he's a cast member of the new DuckTales cartoon.
Correct.
Which is currently on the Disney Channel. I guess these things go in waves terms of, so the people who are the children of the 90s when Darkwing was around the first time are now people with money. So they see the Funko Pops, they see the comics, they see the T-shirts that you can get Darkwing shirts at Target, you can get them at Hot Topic. You know, it's just a revival system. You know, these things are all cyclical. They come back around and they introduce it to their kids. When I have people come by my table and buy their Darkwing comics, it's a little bit of nostalgia for them to read.
Sure.
But mostly it's to pass on to their kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see the same love for, like, Disney's gummy bears. You know what I mean?
Or Bonkers.
Right.
Or the Wuzzles.
The Wuzzles.
Yeah. Right. But those are all characters who are going to be coming back as part of the new DuckTales show. So
really?
They incorporate the whole Disney afternoon to, especially with this upcoming season of DuckTales. So they passed out a poster at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Which it showed all the new characters that are coming back. So the new DuckTales is going to have Rescue Rangers, Bonkers, Tailspin, Goof Troop, even Gargoyles.
No way.
Yeah,
so, Gargoyles. That was one of my favorite shows. That and Chippendale's Rescue Rangers back in the 90s. That's pretty awesome. I find it so fascinating, especially with something like Saturday afternoon cartoons, how they manage to stand the test of time. It's so amazing. I guess it's become such a these cartoons and these comics become such a part of our childhood that's why we have Comic-Cons, and we hold these characters so dear to our hearts. For someone like you who works on it for so long, how do you reinvent, not necessarily reinvent that character, but how do you keep him fresh?
The example that I think is best is that you look at the old DuckTales, right?
Right.
Or the old Darkwing.
Right.
The humor was very, I don't want to say dated, but if you do go back and watch the shows, like for the upcoming, I don't know how many people are signed up for the Disney Plus service.
I already did.
what's that?
I did.
Okay. So if you signed up, that's going to have all the old Disney afternoon shows on there. Right.
Wow. Okay.
So if you go back and watch those, there's a nostalgia fact there, but the sense of humor is very dated in the 90s.
Sure.
Right? So what we do is, for Darkwing, is we update the humor. They update the writing, you know, make more cultural references to things that are going on these days. Cartoons these days, they're a little more rapid fire with their humor, so we try and incorporate a little more rapid fire, as opposed to the nutty, you know, anvil falls on the head
sure.
jokes that you might see back in the 90s cartoons.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, it's just keeping it fresh. You know, keep it fresh with the writing, keeping it fresh with, especially the color styling helps a lot with, because with the line artwork, I have to follow what happened, you know, what was relevant in the 90s. But if you color it, I have a great colorist that I work with, a guy named Andrew Dalhouse, and he is a colorist on a lot of DC titles like Teen Titans and The Flash, some of those more modern books, and he really brings a fresh look to the books.
That's amazing. I mean, are you now, as far as what you're working on now, are you exclusively working on Darkwing, or are there other projects that you're currently working on?
Well, I am working on that creator-owned book as well. I do have a creator-owned project that I'm working on with my Darkwing writer, Aaron Sparrow, and as well as a creator-owned book for myself that I'm just working on just for me. None of the stuff that I could talk about. No.
Of course. That's why we have these panels, to keep everything secret.
Right.
So if you want to interrogate James Savani, he has a table way in the back, and you can see if you can get the information out of him for sure. What do you got back there, by the way? I wanted to ask about your table.
Oh, my table. I have a bunch of original artwork that you can come and look through, as well as the Darkwing Duck trade paperbacks, which collects all the issues that I've done so far. As well as my own sketchbooks that I have. I have a collection of con commissions that I've done, which can be all found in one handy place in a sketchbook.
Now, are you doing commissions today?
Yes, I am doing commissions. If you have something in mind you'd like as far as artwork, I'll be happy to sketch that up for you.
Now,
not you, but
oh, not
else.
Me. Yeah, so. Dang, coming. So, I got a question. You've done something that you've loved for so long. Drawing is one of those things that as someone who loves it, I don't understand. How is it that you maintain your love for what you draw and how you draw, and how do you maintain your love for that? I mean, you've been doing it over 20 years.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
Luckily, starting with my parents, and over the years, and with my continuing with my lovely wife who's sitting at my table right now, I've been very fortunate to have people that encourage what I do. And that is something I would hope parents would continue to do, is encourage your kids. If they have a love for something like drawing, which I did as a kid, encourage that love for what they do. And you know, to this day, I'm terrible about keeping sketchbooks and doing stuff for my own amusement because work, you know, work gets in the way. But I feel so lucky to do what I do.
Yeah.
I just remember that every day.
Yeah.
And my loved ones encourage me, and they
you have a good support system for
them. I have a great, fantastic support system. So.
That is amazing. So what he said, here's what I got out of that. So if we see James Savani at breakfast at Tasty Crust, we can stalk you and show you your drawings and tell you that we're either good.
If you buy me breakfast, I'll do anything. So.
Very good. Excellent. All right, Mr. Savani, where can we find you on the social medias, by the way?
Savani Art for everything. Savani Art for, so it's just my last name plus A-R-T. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram are my big ones, and once in a while on Facebook.
Fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you visit Mr. James Savani at his back table right here in this hall. Mr. Savani, you are a great friend to the Nerd Watch, and you're an amazing inspiration to all of us. We love having you. Ladies and gentlemen, please, big round of applause for Mr. James Savani. And make sure you guys visit him back at his table back there. Get a commission or two. Grab a Darkwing Duck comic. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Got more panels coming up right here, center stage at Maui Comic Con 2019. Thank you guys so much. Hey, price some of that information about what he's working on. I want to know what it is, too.